We got the kitchens open to kick off the 9 o'clock hour right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
CBS News Brief. Most of Los Angeles County is under a flash flood warning amid torrential rain, mudslides, rescues, and power outages. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
We've got roads that look like raging rivers. The current here is strong enough to uplift entire boulders.
The forecast calls for rain to continue into tomorrow. Secretary of State Blinken arrived in Saudi Arabia today. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
He will address the humanitarian concerns in Gaza as Israel presses on with its offensive. He will also discuss a proposed truce that would allow a prisoner hostage exchange.
Jay-Z accepting the Global Impact Award at the Grammys on CBS and using his platform to call out the Recording Academy for snubbing his wife, Beyonce, again.
We love y'all. We love y'all. We want y'all to get it right, at least get it close to right. And obviously it's subjective.
Taylor Swift broke a record by winning her fourth Album of the Year award. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden has some competition for Wisconsin Democratic primary voters in April. The state Supreme Court ordered Dean Phillips' name to be on the ballot Friday. Phillips says democracy works best when voters have choices.
I believe democracy requires competition. It makes everything better. American voters deserve choices. 70% of American voters don't want Donald Trump or Joe Biden.
Phillips on Upfront on WISN-TV. The Wisconsin Supreme Court says it will hear Governor Evers' lawsuit challenging the legislature's practice of blocking his initiatives in committee. The governor sued the legislature for blocking a number of conservation projects. Evers says lawmakers should not be able to kill plans that passed as separate laws or part of the state budget. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The first Special Olympics polar plunge of the season was a huge success in Wisconsin Rapids on Saturday. A crew from Enbridge cut the hole in the ice by Anchor Bay Bar and Grill. There were many teams and individuals who took the icy plunge to raise money for a good cause. The Wood County Sheriff's team raised almost $11,000 for Special Olympics. You have several opportunities to participate as plunges take place across the state on Saturdays through March 31st. Rockfest has announced their 2024 lineup. Taking place in mid-July in Cadott, you can expect to see headliners Jelly Roll, Shinedown, and 30 Seconds to Mars. The fest runs from Wednesday, July 17th to Saturday, July 20th. One-day general admission is $89, and the entire fest pass is on sale now for $149. The concert has been taking place since 94 and has grown from under 4,000 to over 30,000 today. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Wisconsin loses to Purdue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers losing 75-69 before a nationally televised audience. That's back-to-back losses now. Head coach Greg Gard.
I think the losing a game always gets your attention more, but I don't think there's anything that we have seen transpire in the last two games that we hadn't talked about before, and it's masqueraded by winning.
NBA, the Bucks came up short in Utah. Final score 123-108. Head coach Doc Rivers asked about Damian Lillard, who appeared to be playing despite an injury.
We think he's okay, but he was struggling all game with the ankle.
The Bucks road trip continues tomorrow night in Phoenix. And the teams for Super Bowl 58 have arrived in Las Vegas, and already the trash talk is underway. 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa asked about the Chiefs right guard Trey Smith and right tackle Juwan Taylor.
Taylor and Smith leads the NFL. Ton of penalties. Anything stand out when you watch them?
They hold a lot.
That's the 49ers' Nick Bosa. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another gorgeous day on tap for us, as we get to sit under mostly sunny skies as highs flirt with 50 degrees. Our record high temperature for today was 52, set back in 2005. Enjoy the pleasant day. Chances of patchy fog build back in tonight and through tomorrow morning. Right now, it's 30.
Good morning, Wisconsin.
Good morning, world.
It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are a locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
And all of you, the best listeners on radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We got some fun things lined up for you this hour that we like to do. We're going to get into a little entertainment news in a little bit. We'll get into some other fun stuff, too, that we've got to do. But we get good stories of the day, local stuff and all of that. But it's 9 o'clock hour. We're kicking off right now. You know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Hello and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR. Today we're going to tackle a subject related to food, food prices.
That doesn't sound like much fun.
Oh, we're also going to talk about monopolies.
Oh, I like Monopoly, but my dad's always got to be the banker. You know?
I don't think she means the game, James.
Oh, but they have food versions of Monopoly, man. There's Pizza Monopoly, Chocolate Monopoly. There's even a Bob's Burgers version of Monopoly where I always get to be Louise.
You are correct. There are endless versions of the game Monopoly. However, the reason I wanted to talk about monopolies during our traditionally food-related segment today is the ongoing concern about grocery store monopolies and prices continuing to go up.
Prices are high, and that's no joke.
I imagine you feel the pinch to your pocketbook, Seth, even more with two growing boys at home.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, since I'm not an economist, we're going to lean heavily on several articles today. The first is from The Washington Post, published last Friday, February 2nd, written by Abba Bertelli and Jeff Stein.
And the next is from Better Homes and Gardens that was published on December 27th in 2023 by Abby Wilson.
And we'll also pull from a New York Times article published on February 1st, 2024, written by Jim Tankersley.
The article from the Washington Post titled "Inflation Has Fallen, Why Are Groceries Still So Expensive?" says grocery prices have jumped by 25% over the past 4 years. During that same period, overall inflation has risen 19%. That's a big difference, and tens of millions of people are struggling to pay for groceries.
The Better Homes and Gardens article is titled "Grocery Prices Are Still Set to Shift Again in 2024. Here's What to Expect." It says, volatile prices and frequent shortages made a 2023 a tough year for food shoppers. Global conflicts and extreme weather events also added to the expense and scarcity of items.
It goes on to say that the overall economy impacts food costs as well. Inflation reached the highest level in 40 years in June of 2022. Since then, numbers have dropped slowly, but many prices are still higher than usual. Weather events have caused supply chain issues and shortages in both labor and product. These factors also contribute to higher prices.
Now, people are hoping that prices will return to what we think of as normal, but experts don't see that happening. Don Thilmany, an agricultural economist and professor at Colorado State University, she said, with the exception of a few things like eggs, we're not going to see prices drop back down drastically. She said prices will stabilize, but that's likely it.
Labor shortages are another major reason prices have been driven so high. Claudia Schaum is an economist who worked at the Federal Reserve. She said it's taken until last year to make big strides on ending the labor shortages. That's 3 years into the pandemic. She also said drops in prices aren't going to happen in all parts of the economy equally at the same time.
It's hard to believe inflation is moderating, but it is. Items like gasoline and household furnishings are now cheaper than they were in their post-pandemic peak. But because grocery store prices are still so high and you usually purchase them weekly, they play an outsized role in the perception of inflation.
Ross Steinman, a psychology professor at Widener University, studies consumer behavior. He said that the sheer frequency of grocery trips make price increases harder to swallow, even though infrequent expenses like car insurance or property tax also induce sticker shock. They're not staring you in the face over and over each week.
As expected, low-income families are suffering more by rising grocery prices. In January of 23, food prices were more than 11% higher than the previous year. Prices rose during the last year by an additional 5%. Low-income families spend 31% of their income on food compared to 8% for wealthier families.
The high cost of food is putting more pressure on food pantries. Feeding America published a report this summer that found approximately 49 million people turned to hunger relief programs for support in 2022. That's one out of every six people in the U.S.
Feeding America also did a food bank survey. It showed that 80% of responding food banks were reporting either an increase or steady demand for emergency food services. This is putting strain on their ability to meet the sustained need.
There is some good news on the horizon. Dr. David P. Anderson is a professor of agriculture economics at Texas A&M University. He says inflation is moderating in many areas. The Federal Reserve's attempts to reduce inflation will be important for what we see in overall food prices, as well as the impact of higher interest rates and the overall economy.
Dr. Anderson also said consumer demand will play a large role in prices. If consumers cut back on their purchases, then that leads to lower prices. Food prices are predicted to only increase by 2.9% overall this next year. That's less than last year and a significant drop from the year before.
All this talk about prices is a bit depressing, and we have not even touched on monopolies yet.
That's true. But remember, these are just predictions. The Economic Research Service of the United States Department of Agriculture predicts these prices based on a lot of factors.
As a nation, we have less direct control over some of these factors, like where storms will hit or where drought will happen. Like we said earlier, weather events and Russia's invasion of Ukraine caused some of the spikes we saw in prices. Those are starting to settle back down.
Mm-hmm. But one concern that has been on the radar for our current administration is the possible merger between two large grocery store chains. It's been under discussion for quite some time now, and the Federal Trade Commission is reviewing the deal.
So this is where the talk of monopolies comes in.
You got it. Okay. Kroger and Albertsons are looking to merge. Those against the deal say it would reduce competition and allow them to charge shoppers higher prices. Kroger executives insist the merger will reduce costs for customers.
Of course they do. But just two grocery store chains merging doesn't make a monopoly, does it?
Maybe not. But let's talk about the top 10 grocery store chains in the U.S. According to foodindustry.com, the top 10 grocery store chains by revenue are as follows. In the number one spot is Walmart. They have over 5,300 stores nationwide. The Kroger Company comes in second with 2,700 stores. Number three is Costco Wholesale Corporation. And then, remember, this is revenue. They only have about 564 stores.
Man, wow, that's crazy.
Wow.
So they're making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Number four spot is Albertsons Company Incorporated. They have 2,308 stores. Now, the next ones here, we have at Ahold Delhaize USA. This is a Dutch multinational realtor. Retailer with over 2,048 stores. I couldn't find what their stores are called.
Oh, okay.
Might be the IKEA offshoot.
Maybe if they carry food, because this is just food. Okay, and so number six is Publix Supermarkets, Inc. They have 1,396 stores, mostly in Florida. The HEB grocery store chain, which stands for Howard E. Butt. They have 325 stores in Texas.
Number your last name is Butt. Don't name the store after yourself.
This is so funny. Number eight is Amazon, because they now wholly integrated Whole Foods into Amazon. The Whole Foods chain is 515 stores, but Amazon also sells. They have many other food things within their company that they sell food from. Number nine is Target Corporation. They have over 1,900 stores. And at least 170 of them are still small format, so I don't know if they're super targets.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then the Major Inc., which has 265 stores in six states, including Wisconsin, and that is also a Dutch company.
Yeah, Meijer. See more of those. I know growing up in Illinois, I see a lot more of those, but there are some in Wisconsin, yeah.
That's a lot of numbers, but if I'm adding correctly, if Kroger and Albertsons merge, they'll all have almost as many stores as Walmart at just over 5,000.
That is correct. But as it stands now, the two combined together still wouldn't make close to what Walmart did last year just in food and grocery sales. Walmart and Sam's Club combined account for over $300.5 billion. And together, Kroger and Albertsons made $225.65 billion. However, the merger would put them in second in the ranking for sure.
Foodindustry.com did include a disclaimer on their website that some may disagree with how they classify retailers. And I quote, "We do our best to rank these retailers with the precision of a cat herding competition. We think we got the big boys all listed here, but please let us know if you think we missed something."
Wow.
I thought the disclaimer was so great.
That is a great disclaimer.
That is pretty good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff that you don't hear really talked about. When we're not only talking about food, when we're talking about inflation, we're talking about prices of anything going up.
Yep.
People just want the quick headline. They don't want to read the article. They just want the headline. Oh, inflation. The current administration is to blame. End of story. I can move on with my life. I've got the answers. I don't need to do any homework or thinking. This is the deal here. I mean, this is where this stuff really comes in. This is important. Understanding what these businesses are up to, what they are doing behind the scenes, with and not in the public eye. The things that what they rely on is you being bored by this stuff. They want that.
And not digging in and paying attention.
Exactly.
Because if you look at the names of these corporations that we just that I just listed off, I mean, you obviously recognize Walmart and Costco and Target and Amazon. But these other ones, like, okay, so what does the Kroger company own? They own Pick and Save.
They do.
Yeah. They own most of the grocery stores that we shop at.
Exactly.
And Albertsons as well. But you don't know, all the different grocery stores that they own. And that's one of the things, too, with these monopolies. They buy up all these companies. Well, they don't change them all to say, okay, this is company B now. Mm-hmm. These are all company B. They have all these different names. So you don't realize that they're becoming a monopoly.
How many people, if you ask them, what's the biggest food chain in America, would say Walmart? So this has already happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is already this conglomerate, this kind of thing has already taken place under our noses without most people even knowing it. Most people, if you ask them where they get their groceries, first thing they're going to say is whatever their local grocery store is, like us for IGA or something like that.
But yeah, how many of us, county market.
Right. How many of actually do the shopping there, though? You don't think of Walmart as a grocery store. This is how they get you. This is how they can lure people in with this stuff and everything, and they become the biggest food chain in the country.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So now there is a very likely chance that the Federal Trade Commission will block the merger between Kroger and Albertsons, but blocking that deal will do very little to address the current high prices.
Is there anything the current administration can do beyond what they've already done to affect these high prices?
According to a White House spokesman, President Biden has made it clear that as input prices fall, corporations should pass those savings on to consumers. Retailers like clothing and sporting goods stores saw profit margins jump, just like grocery stores did in 2021 and 22. Other retail's margins have fallen back to more normal levels, but grocery store margins have stayed elevated.
Now, it's a complicated problem, and many factors contribute to the high prices, specifically for grocery stores. But some manufacturers are simply taking advantage. Even as costs have declined, some producers, like soft drink manufacturers, have continued to raise prices, leading to heady profit margins.
I know President Biden's administration has spent hundreds of millions of dollars to help companies expand in the meatpacking industry to try and help add competition there. That industry is dominated by a handful of large players, and the meat prices are among several that are expected to increase more this next year.
That's true. They've also changed calculations of federal food assistance programs to adjust them for inflation. This helps more than 40 million families who rely on benefit programs like SNAP to feed their children. However, this does nothing for the huge chunk of people stuck in the middle. They don't have enough money to put food on the table every single day, but aren't poor enough to qualify for benefits.
There is an enforcement action the commission is considering. A nearly 90-year-old law called the Robinson-Patman Act requires suppliers of retail goods to offer the same terms to every retailer they sell to. Supporters of these enforcement actions say they would drive down prices at smaller grocers by enabling and ensuring that they can buy items for the same cost as large retailers.
Mm.
The unfortunate reality is that with an issue this complicated, it's too easy for the other guy to sprout a bunch of nonsense and blame the current administration for high prices, not talking at all about how his planned tariffs on imports would increase costs for items we get from other countries, and his planning mass deportation of undocumented immigrants would likely make costs significantly higher for domestic meat products.
But in the interests of not turning this topic even more political than we've already done, I'll just encourage you to look into what each administration has already done during their time in office and make an educated decision when you head to the ballot box this year.
There are a few things you can try and do to offset high prices at the grocery store this next year. Better Homes and Gardens suggests being flexible and taking advantage of deals.
Keep an eye out on prices throughout the year yourself and look into why specific foods go up or down in price when they're changing.
Watch for features at your local grocery store. Many offer loyalty discounts. You can also get holiday deals that present an opportunity to get something to put in your freezer for later.
And on that note, I think we should close up the kitchen. Thank you for joining us for another segment of The Kitchen's Open.
We're here every Monday during the 9 o'clock hour. Maybe next week Melissa won't pick such a depressing topic.
Hey, everyone's affected by food prices. It seemed like an important thing to discuss.
You're right. It might have been more fun to play Bob's Burgers Monopoly, though. And I'm not even really, I'm not lying. I think that would have been a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, you could be right about that.
We are looking for a sponsor for this segment. If you're interested, reach out to Pam at 715-424-1300, and she'll put you in touch with Ashley to talk details.
That's right. I'd love to promote your business every week, and that's what we do here on Locally Grown Radio.
Buy local, support local. Contact Pam at 715-421-1300.
424-1300. I wrote that wrong. Sorry, guys.
Did I say 421?
Yeah, that's what you wrote.
I Ron Burgundy that. I completely just read it.
Call Pam at 715-424-1300. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Great segment.
Thank you, Melissa.
There, Melissa. Thank you so much for that. That's fun. Be sure to check out The Kitchen's Open every Monday at 9. We'll meet you back here next Monday for another great episode. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and have some more fun with some entertainment news for you on the morning show here at WFHR.
Tell me something good.
One day it's bone chilling cold. The next the sun is shining. It's Wisconsin. Don't like the weather? Wait 10 minutes. It'll change. Sooner or later, the snow will go away. But right now, it's freezing cold. And all that cold weather can cause freeze-ups in your holding tank or septic pipe system. So be sure that you keep an eye out for trouble. And call Crockett Septic to help you if you encounter a jam. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Hold and tank septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whip. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their pumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
To everyone who needs a little delight in their day, let our team member Paul tell you about one of our favorite sweet treats.
Making special moments at mealtime is a tradition in Wisconsin. And what better way to sweeten your day than a Culver's creamy, fresh frozen custard and your favorite mix-ins? We handcraft every concrete mixer exactly the way you like. From caramel to your favorite candies like Butterfinger.
Come to Culver's and let us make your day a little bit sweeter.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another gorgeous day on tap for us, as we get to sit under mostly sunny skies as highs flirt with 50 degrees. Our record high temperature for today was 52, set back in 2005. Enjoy the pleasant day. Chances of patchy fog build back in tonight and through tomorrow morning. Right now, it's 35.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Seth, and James here with you, and we are joined at the beginning of every month with our friend Tom Heiser with a monthly veterans update. Tom is joining us right now for that. Tom, good to see you.
Good morning, James. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Good.
Good. Thanks for being with us, Tom. We appreciate the time. I don't want to keep you too long, Tom, and I know we have a list of things to get into. Let's go ahead and dive right in with our monthly veterans updates.
Okay, it's really short this month. Fine. Yeah. Short month. Once again, there's no VBA this month and no Heroes Cafe, but they're both restarting in March.
Yeah, yeah. So, we're looking forward to that. So excited about that.
Monthly breakfast this morning at Grace's, and Thursday is the Rudolph American Legion have their monthly meeting at 7. American Legion Post has theirs on February 14th, a Wednesday. VFW is on Thursday, February 15th. And then Saturday, there's the National Guard Armory right across the street from over here. They're having their dance benefit banquet.
Encourage people to go check that out.
Yes. And then every Wednesday, we've never mentioned this before, but thought we better bring it up. Mm-hmm. We have a group of veterans, over a half dozen from Rapids, that drive all the way over to Waupaca to work on wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Mobility for Vets Wheelchair Shop in Waupaca.
Oh, wow.
And it's all volunteer.
I hadn't heard much about this group before, and Tom sent me a link about them, and I did a deep dive into this group and these great, amazing human beings. They're doing some really important work, Tom.
Yes, they are. They take wheelchairs that are somewhat bad, electric wheelchairs, the old-fashioned non-electric wheelchairs, manually operated. They tear them down, repair them, and then they resell them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they've got some people that are technicians to work on those electric units, and you know, they tear, like I say, salvage what they can and build new ones, and then turn them back over. So, and they also do take donations.
Yes. You know, keep that in mind, everybody. Especially if you you have a wheelchair, nobody, you know, those are one of those things that you don't have a lot of use for, and that's just going to sit in the basement or in the garage or something. Get it to these guys; they can do some good with it.
Exactly. You know, get the dust off of it and get it into, you know, in back into circulation. And you just give them a call, 715-281-6175, and they will set something up. They've traveled Appleton.
Yeah, they travel pretty far for these things from what I was reading in the testimonial, a lot of that stuff and everything. And again, mobilityforvets.com is the number four is the four in there. So mobilityforvets.com.
Exactly. And then on Saturday, I know it's in the future, May 25th, we have the all female Quilts of Valor.
Very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
The research that Bill Hack has done on that is this could be the first one in all the United States.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And for everything that I found, too, it does seem like it is. I don't want to say for sure it is, but it really does seem like it. And even if it isn't the only one, it's one of few that there are for something like this. Leave it to our local vets, our people here, to figure something like that out and doing something like this. A big shout out to everybody behind that.
Exactly. And I think there's around 30 lady veterans that are going to be receiving quilts. And what Bill has also done is he has contacted the former female vet recipients to come as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
It's
that's
huge. Cool.
Yeah, big thing, yeah.
That is very cool. Tom, we appreciate these updates. We'll be talking more about these as we get closer to them. Always appreciate the time from you, sir. If people want to know more, is there a way to reach you, a way to reach our VFW?
Right, just give the VFW a call at 715-600-0401. And our Senior Vice Commander Sean Plant answers the phone, answers all the questions that you have. We're very much in the community. We just had the state midwinter conference, the VFW, here at the Mead.
How'd that go?
Very well, from what I understand, very well.
It seemed like it did.
Booked up all weekend, so I wasn't able to attend, but seen a lot of good things on Facebook and hearing a lot of good things.
All right.
And we encourage people to keep up to date on all of these things. We'll help you do that. We'll be touching on these things as we get closer and closer to them. Tom, we'll talk real soon. I'm sure you and I talk all month long. But you'll talk with our listeners at the beginning of next month, all right?
I sure hope so.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate the time, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for doing this. Really appreciate getting the information out there.
We'll be talking again real soon. What we'll do right now is we're going to take a we'll get right to our news. We'll get to our news a little bit earlier than usual. We'll dive into that, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about a little bit of entertainment news for you right here on The Morning Show, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Gray wolves will stay under federal endangered species protections. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says it's going to focus on a national wolf strategy. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says that means the state's wolf management plan will stay the same. It bans wolf hunting until the population in Wisconsin is well over 1,000. February is Black History Month. Black leaders in Wisconsin say the fight for equality is as relevant as ever.
All these years later, in 2024, that we've got people who are trying to undermine efforts around diversity, equity, and inclusion to lift people up who've had challenges trying to live out that simple American dream.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson on Civic Media's Earl Ingram Show. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Enrollment is open now for agricultural producers and private landowners to apply for the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, or CREP,
This is a state and federally funded land management resource for landowners and producers wanting to set aside agricultural land located along streams, lakes, and wetlands from production. This program has helped reduce financial risk by mitigating issues such as nutrient loss and crop damage from frequent flooding. CREP has helped keep tens of thousands of pounds of phosphorus, nitrogen, and sediment runoff out of Wisconsin waters. Since the program's inception in 2001, the state has contributed over $21 million to landowners in cost share and incentive payments. Applications will be accepted on a first-come, first-served basis until July 31st or until the acreage cap is met. Our House is coming to McMillan Library on February 8th. This Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young tribute band will entertain on Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous, because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades, and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another gorgeous day on tap for us. So we get to sit under mostly sunny skies as highs flirt with 50 degrees. Our record high temperature for today was 52, set back in 2005. Enjoy the pleasant day. Chances of patchy fog build back in tonight and through tomorrow morning. Right now, it's 35.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR.
Was an early morning yesterday. I was up before the dawn.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. A little Super Tramp to play us in. Good fun stuff lined up for you. Touching on a little entertainment news. After that, we're going to get into this best snacks to eat after midnight.
All right.
Got that one coming up for you and plenty more. I'll get to the local good stories of the day before we wrap up. Big shout out to Tom Heiser with our monthly veterans update. Big thank you to Tom for that. We appreciate you, Tom. Diving into entertainment news, we'll get into the Grammys in a moment here and the Grammy winners and all that. But first, a melancholy way to start off with saying goodbye to a great. Carl Weathers passed away last Thursday night in his sleep. He was 76 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Carl's most famous role, probably Apollo Creed in the first four Rocky movies. His other credits, of course, include Predator, Happy Gilmore, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Most recently was Emmy nomination for being on The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Chicago Fire, Chicago PD was on there. And the hilarious, underappreciated cameo on Arrested Development, where Carl Weathers was playing himself, but a very cheap version of Carl Weathers. He was always he's always telling people how you could save a couple bucks here, you could save a couple bucks. Like, that was the gimmick of his character, was he was really nitpicky or penny pinchy.
Yeah, right.
It was just a weird Yeah, it was just really, and he played himself. It was interesting because, especially for this role to happen late in his career, Carl Weathers, known as an action star for reasons. Many people might not know this, but Carl Weathers was an undrafted football player for the Oakland Raiders at the time.
Yep.
Played 8 games for them, then went on to the Canadian Football League for a little while. Actually played college ball for San Diego State, was a part of their last undefeated season. He had a great career collegiately. So he was an athlete. He was an action star. Mm-hmm. But his acting was great Like Apollo, like look at the difference of Mr. T, Hulk Hogan, and then Carl Weathers with the villains in the Rocky movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Dolph Lundgren's character who could act. Dolph can act.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, the difference of that and having an act. It's actually where we were going with the Marvel universe and the DC universe. Bona fide actors playing action roles.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Carl Weathers was.
Yes.
And he was that before many others were.
Mm-hmm. I always liked his role in Predator. He was just a good Predator.
Think of how well loved Rocky was. Is.
Yes.
Rocky, one of the more lovable good guys or good, you know, heroes in movies and all that in history. But Carl Weathers, quote unquote, villain, was so likable that they end up turning him into a good guy eventually by the end of the series.
That's right.
and everything. Getting to see him like in the Arrested Development role where there's no action. He's not fighting anybody. He's mm-hmm. not showing off his biceps like he does in Predator or something like that. he's just being comedically funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's killing it. He's doing great in it. He was awesome in it. He's a very underrated actor, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. And I was really happy with the what he did on The Mandalorian. Because, yeah. again, it showed how good of an actor he was. In fact, he even got the chance to direct an episode, if I remember correctly,
yep.
which I know he was really excited about. So, yeah, I'm really sad because I really like Carl Weathers.
Yeah, yeah. Some really nice notes about him being yeah. done by Robert Rodriguez and Pedro Pascal and a lot of his castmates yeah. and everything. He will definitely be missed.
He will be.
Looking at the Grammys, early in that in the night, Taylor Swift won her 13th Grammy for Best Pop Vocalist. That's Taylor's lucky number, of course. And during her speech, she dropped an announcement on us. She has a brand new album on the way. It's called The Tortured Poets Department, and it drops April 19th. Taylor also became the first person to win Album of the Year 4 times when she won for Midnight's. Celine Dion presented the award, and she looked and sounded great despite her health issues. So to me, more importantly, Celine Dion doing better. That's good
yes.
to see. Nothing against Taylor Swift. I just mean a person's health is higher to me than somebody winning
yeah,
a award.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
One thing Taylor did not do last night was mention Travis Kelce. She also didn't perform. But there are some amazing performances. If you have not gotten to see the Tracy Chapman, Luke Combs version of Fast Car, I played Ooh. A little of it on the Sunrise Show for people. It brought the house down. It was the performance of the night. And as somebody who's watched the Grammys on and off pretty much my whole life, top 10 performance all time on the Grammys.
Cool.
Mm. Miley Cyrus seemed to be having the time of her life performing Flowers. She even gave the song a little Tina Turner style to it.
Ooh, nice.
Interesting.
And Annie Lennox was also part of the memoriam package, delivering an emotional tribute to Sinead O'Connor and calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Mm. Billie Eilish won for Song of the Year, What I Was Made For, which she also performed.
Mm. Wow. Nice.
Joni Mitchell won Best Folk Album.
Wow.
Cool.
Still going strong, Joni.
She and performed on the Grammy stage for the first time ever. Joni Mitchell has never performed at the Grammys.
Really? Mm. Wow, that's interesting.
At the age 80, is the first time she's ever done that.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Mm. Let's see.
Of ladies. All yeah. the ladies.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big night of that. And looking at your list of big Grammy winners, again, Album of the Year, Taylor Swift, Record of the Year, Flowers to Miley Cyrus, Song of the Year, Barbie, What I Was Made For from Barbie by Billie Eilish. Best New Vocalist, a lot of people thought Jelly Roll was going to win that. Victoria Monet did. Best, let's see here, any surprises? Not really. Best Metal Performance, 72 Seasons from Metallica. That they did win. And Killer Mike had maybe the best speech of the night. Killer Mike won Best Rap Performance, Best Melodic Rap Performance, and Best Rap Album. So they kind of swept that category. And great acceptance speech by
Killer
him.
Mike's awesome.
Best, yeah, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah.
Best Music Video, I'm Only Sleeping from the Beatles.
Oh.
Really?
Wow.
Interesting. How many people knew that was even a category at the Grammys? I did not know. I did not know.
Neither.
And Best Music Film, again, I did not know this was a category
cool.
at the Grammys. The David Bowie documentary, Moonage Daydream.
Oh, yeah.
So that was your big winners from last night's Grammys.
Cool.
And I think anybody that got to see that performance might have won, too,
yeah.
last night. It's a Monday. I feel a little fluffier than usual, a little furrier than usual on Mondays. It's a Muppet Monday, everybody. Encourage you to check out What the Muppet, the wonderful podcast done by Bria Hoyt and James Maloof. I don't know how to pronounce that. Anyway, these two do a great job with this podcast. Every Monday they drop this the new episode for you. You can check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Also encourage you to check out the video on YouTube. It's a great watch. It's about a half an hour, 40 minutes. Go ahead and jump on there to your YouTube page and type in What the Muppet and subscribe to the page. This week, we're privileged to be joined by Rhett. Rhett Safranik is the record holder for the largest collection of Muppets memorabilia.
Oh, yes.
Cool.
Rhett showed us a little bit of his memorabilia. He was on the show with us, did an actual episode with us and everything. We had a real fun time talking with Rhett.
Nice.
Really appreciate him showing us around and being on the show with us. It was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Check out Muppet Royalty, the episode 28 of What the Muppet.
28, man.
That is
holy cow.
That is incredible. I can't believe that. That is really wild.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah, I encourage you to do that, everybody. And we have another week of rehearsals over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Studios for The Glass Menagerie.
We do?
Yes.
Really?
I'm only bringing this up to remind you guys.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I just wanted to remind you guys. That's it. Now we can move
on. Sorry, Kevin. I got to drive to Rapids tonight. Yeah.
The Glass Menagerie, in production, directed by Seth and Beth Habhager. Encourage you to check this one out. Everybody get your tickets at wrctheater.org. So you guys got this week filming to do?
Today is the big day.
Okay.
Filming day today.
Big day.
It's the big day, Melissa. You ready? Are you ready?
Yeah, except for my right eye. Everything else is ready.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, that's good. That's right.
Well, we're going to film everything from the left.
From profile. That's what we'll do.
Yes. We might have to.
So, so we actually got a lot we're filming tonight. We're actually doing cast interviews as well tonight. Mm-hmm. And, we got a few of the film bits that are going to be put in. Hopefully, I wrap everything up for tonight. So then I can start working on the production on that stuff. And getting our voiceover things done. And so it's coming together. It really is. So it's very exciting. Cool.
Melissa, has Kevin been helping you learn your lines?
You know, he's not the best at holding the script steady.
So I was worried about this. I was worried about that.
Every time I try to prop it up on him, he's like,
"Yeah." Yeah, I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
He's not very helpful.
Well, we know you're gonna do a great job, and you guys are gonna have a great week of rehearsals. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to talking more and more about this. We'll see how things are going on Wednesday's show. I believe we got you guys together on Wednesday again. We'll talk about it on Wednesday.
Indeed.
Get your tickets and make plans. March 1st is the premiere of The Glass Menagerie, the winter production from our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Buy local, support local. Go to wrctheater.org right now and get your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a commercial break. Come back. We'll have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's No Joke, a big announcement naming Radetzky's No Joke Dairy near Stratford as a future host of the state's Farm Technology Days.
Technology sharing, celebration of agriculture.
Matt Lippert with the UW Division of Extension. He says the Radetzky Farm is operated by the family's fifth generation and looks forward to opening their doors to the public.
Certainly an honor. Family success. And modernization and history and pride in what they're doing. So yeah, it's a very fun event.
An event that moves to a different part of the state every year.
Other states also have similar events, but ours is one of the very few that actually does rotate. Goes to different counties, so obviously different host farms.
It could bring more than 40,000 people to the central Wisconsin area in the summer of 2026. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr. Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us.
I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another gorgeous day on tap for us, as we get to sit under mostly sunny skies as highs flirt with 50 degrees. Our record high temperature for today was 52, set back in 2005. Enjoy the pleasant day. Chances of patchy fog build back in tonight and through tomorrow morning. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great Monday out there. Happy week to you.
Happy week?
Happy start happy of the week to you. I meant to say, forgot the start word.
Start of the week.
Okay. Hey, happy week, everybody.
It's Monday. It's a week.
I sound like somebody who's just learning English. Happy week to all. Or computer. Is an AI system or system?
Happy week
is
to
AI
you.
Is AI taken over? For James?
Yeah.
Oh, no. He's AI.
I got to admit, everything I've said today, AI. Yep, everything I've said today. Here are some great late night snack ideas. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night starving? Maybe you grab a donut or a handful of chips before you go to bed. Mm-hmm. Luckily, there are dietitians out there who can help us make some better choices at night.
Are they there in your kitchen at midnight?
Right. Yeah.
Would have to be to stop me from the donut.
Agreed. I'm 1,000% with you on this one, Melissa, especially at that point of the night.
Like 72 slices of American cheese.
Nice. Well done. Just drooling, eating the chicken. So here are some of those snacks that those dietitians are recommending, like sliced turkey breast. The protein should hold off your hunger till morning. Plus, there's tryptophan, the stuff that makes you sleepy on Thanksgiving.
True.
Well, come on. Sometimes they say it does. Sometimes they say it doesn't. Which is it?
Yeah, it depends on who you ask.
To eat a lot of it, I think.
I think so, Melissa, because it doesn't ever seem to happen to me. I don't ever seem to have the sleeps or the itis, as they used to call it in my neighborhood.
James, you don't like turkey, and you don't eat it at Thanksgiving. You eat spaghetti.
Yeah, there's probably part of the reason,
rigatoni. Sorry.
But all fowl have tryptophan in them, including chickens. So it's anything like that. It's the amount. Yeah, you'd have to eat a whole bunch in order to get
something.
To that. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow. Cheese and crackers. Any combo of protein and fiber is a good thing.
There you go, Seth.
Cheese and crackers.
Yes.
Cheese and crackers.
I feel weird calling it cuss words, but it's
a replacement cuss word.
Oh, cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
Vegetables and hummus.
Oh.
It's an especially a great snack if you forget your veggies during the day, and hummus makes everything taste better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's one of Beth's go-to is hummus with veggies.
I like the red pepper flavor.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Banana and nut butter. Potassium helps you relax, and complex carbs help control blood sugar spikes.
Oh. Mm. Oh, okay. That sounds interesting.
And I actually do something on this list. I didn't think I would have anything. Cereal and milk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well done, James.
Yeah. It's like, wait. Yeah. It's so sad. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Cereal and milk. As long as it's whole grain and low sugar cereal. Okay.
Oh, see, fail. Oh,
wait a Fruity minute. Pebbles don't count.
Yeah.
No, dang it. No. So Captain Crunch, oops, all berries is a big no.
No, sorry.
Okay.
Nice not try, quite though.
There. Yeah. I knew it was too good to be true. I knew it.
Get your hork and fiber chunks out, and you can start.
There you go. Nice.
Just dump some wheat germ on top, and you're good.
Look, I'll never forget people telling me how healthy like Rice Krispies could be and Rice Krispie treats and some healthier cereals and stuff, and seeing my dad trying to make the effort to get healthier, and he grabs the Rice Krispies and he's got it up there and he's like, he's yelling at my mom, I'm eating them, he's just yelling at him that he doesn't eat them, and as he's saying this to her and shouting up to her that he's eating healthier, he is just dousing it in sugar.
Sugar, yep.
Just pouring sugar on top of it and everything.
Okay, but the best part about putting sugar on top of Rice Krispies is the shape of the Rice Krispies. Because when you get to the bottom of the bowl, they can't soak up all that sugar. So then you've just got a lovely, delicious spoonful of melted sugar in the bottom
pure
with your milk.
Sugar.
It's the best.
Yeah. It does seem really good. That does seem really good.
You know what
good.
I call them? I call them Rice Creepies.
Ugh. Oh, really? Really?
Not a fan.
Is it the sound they make?
No, it's the texture, I think. Because I like other rice cereals, but not that. Not right, nice Rice Krispies. No.
Seth's got a big thing. He's only got one requirement with his breakfast foods. Don't talk to him. No, he doesn't want breakfast food that talks back to
talk
him.
Talk back to me? The back of my hand.
I like this list. I like this. Let's go ahead and take a call from one of our listeners. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I agree with your cheese and crackers, but I would omit the crackers because that would leave your mouth a little gritty and you'll probably have to get up and brush your teeth before you go back to bed.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Just grab a block of cheese.
Get that cheese.
I buy those cheese sticks and I have
there you go.
Oh, yeah. Those are good. Those are good.
You don't even have to cut it.
Yes.
No, you just bite it.
Are you a midnight snacker, sir? Are you a late snacker?
No, but your guy on Saturday morning, Terry Nutrition, he mentioned that you should do that once in a while, too.
Terry has mentioned that. Yeah, I've heard that, yeah. Appreciate you, sir. Thanks so much. Have a good morning.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Be sure to check that show. Terry does a really good, great job with that. Not only that show, but covering a lot of those kind of topics, too. Terry Talks Nutrition every Saturday right here at WFHR. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and more fun is on the way, right? We'll get into our That Ain't Right story of the day. We've got a list of the weirdest things left behind in hotels over the last year.
We made it. We finally got to talk about it.
Creepy for me.
Coming up on The Morning Show.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another gorgeous day on tap for us. So we get to sit under mostly sunny skies as highs flirt with 50 degrees. Our record high temperature for today was 52, set back in 2005. Enjoy the pleasant day. Chances of patchy fog build back in tonight and through tomorrow morning. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance.
man. Oh. Oh. There we go.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. It's not live. It's okay. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's we'll fix it in post.
It is live. It is live. Okay, never mind. Welcome to the show, everybody. Got Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We're going to take it to the top of the hour with a That Ain't Right story. We'll touch on some good stories of the day. Got some great local things going on in our area we want to touch on and our schedule for the day. Mm-hmm. But right now, a travel company has released a list of the weirdest items left in hotel rooms over the last year, and that is our That Ain't Right story. Let's see here. So just some of these items. Prosthetic limbs.
No. What?
Yeah.
How did they leave?
How do you forget that?
That's my question. How do you forget that?
It seems like really important.
Like, literally, how do you forget that? Like, how could you actually leave the room?
Unless you have two.
Let alone the hotel.
Or three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've only known a handful of people in my life that have had artificial limbs, but I've never known anybody who has a backup artificial limbs that they carry with them. Yeah.
They,
you know, like a spare tire. Like, I just got to, you know, no, that does. I don't know how that happened. A glass eye? Again, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, you can't see out of it, so it's not like a.
That's true, but you think you could feel it in your face, in your eye socket.
A clown costume, and I mean a full-on clown costume, shoes, wig, red nose, everything.
They decided they had had enough of clowning.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm done. I'm just going to leave it all here.
Again, just leaving it here.
What I think what's interesting, too, about this list is these are things that were left and never reclaimed, like, at months later.
Yeah,
so
right.
It isn't something that, I forgot, and a couple of days later I go there, or I call the hotel to see if it's still there or something. These are things that months and years later nobody has
cut. You're getting ready for your next gig. Oh, where's my clown costume? I thought, it's great.
Dumb. That you just put together a generic clown costume now.
Bed sheets.
An inflatable boat. Okay.
Oh,
right.
Okay. Why did they have it in the room in the first place?
That's my question.
That is going to be.
Unless they were in Florida.
That is going to be a really boring camping trip. That camping trip just
you
got
forgot
really
the
boring.
Inflatable boat.
Yeah.
How are we going to get to the site?
Caviar. All right. Caviar.
Oh.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. They didn't like it, I guess.
To leave behind.
No kidding.
A lot of common things like clothing, wallets, keys, a lot of wedding rings. A lot of wedding rings get left behind. That's what you get for taking it off.
You know, I know people who take off their wedding bands to wash hands or stuff like that, and it's easy to forget sometimes that you leave them. Yeah.
Or for women, if they have a stone in them, I would always take it off at night.
Right.
Stab yourself in the face with it. No thanks.
Yeah.
It's not the one I wanted anyway.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
So bitter.
Sorry, I have feels about that.
So bitter.
Dentures.
I am better about it.
Dentures. Oh, what? Seriously? I don't have any teeth. I mean, come on.
That's
you think
rough.
You'd notice you don't have any teeth. So, anyway.
That's a hard one. That's a hard one.
Maybe it's just more comfortable that way.
I guess so.
And Grandma's Lucky Teacup. It's unclear if the lucky thing was written on it or if it was just considered a lucky item.
Why was that left there?
Why did you bring it in the first place?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was her lucky teacup, what are you doing?
It doesn't sound like Grandma got it back either.
Yeah, no,
so
she did not.
Rough.
They were
rough.
Too embarrassed.
Well, but not to nitpick here, but how lucky was it if they didn't remember it? I mean,
true. You know, they maybe they got rid of a bad luck cup.
I mean,
you
maybe,
know,
maybe,
it could very
maybe,
well be.
Maybe I don't know.
Get rid of all that bad luck.
It doesn't have to be at a hotel, but have you ever left anything behind that you're like, that I remember leaving that behind or losing that or whatever. Anything like that.
Had an almost very traumatic weekend because. Two things got left behind.
Uh-oh.
We left Barbie with the blue hair at the party, so we had to turn around and go back.
Oh,
okay.
And then on the way home, we left Black Panther.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Black
we
Panther?
Left Black Panther at home. Yeah.
It's a new one, yeah.
And so we had to have a very long conversation about our feelings, and then try to make it better with, oh, Kevin and Black Panther are having adventures.
Yeah, nice, nice. Well done, well
done. It's okay. Black Panther will come home today.
All right, good.
The only people who spin more than politicians are people in parents. Melissa's situation. Yep. Yeah, right there.
Parents and caregivers.
Dealing with 4-year-olds.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. The work that your imagination does in those moments.
In those instant, I mean, and it's like right on top. You got to be good, man.
And you have to believe it.
Sell it.
Yep. You have to sell it on your face because they will see right through you.
Well, but you know, honestly, and this is the truth, I think the best thing was, you know, it's okay to feel sad. Yeah. It's okay to cry about this. Take a moment and be sad. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll work through that, and then we'll talk about the other things, and we'll make it better tomorrow.
it's not everybody that can turn those moments into learning moments. Nicely done.
Nicely done.
Well done. We got some good stories of the day to get to. One of them being, of course, the best listeners in radio. Thank you to all of you that called in today, that joined the conversation. Want to send a big thank you to all of us that mail us stuff and send us things.
Yeah.
All that postcard was so great.
Thanks so much for this postcard. Made Brittany's day.
It did.
That was awesome. Thank you for doing that. We always appreciate you helping our staff smile around here. Thank you to the best listeners in radio. We've got good stuff on our radio dial tonight. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, join us for Playmakers. Seth and I will be hosting the show together today. And you, Seth, us, and you, all of you guys out there, you call up and join the conversation. We'll be looking forward to talking with you and talking some sports.
Nothing but hot takes.
Yes. Nothing but hot takes all over the place. Joe Montana is better than Tom Brady. There, hot take. The Great Guard Show is on tonight at 6:05. Join us for that. It's going to be a good one. We got great stuff going on in our area as well. We have the Wisconsin Rapids Community Media is presenting the 2024 Merrill Forum. This will feature our mayoral candidates, Tom Muse, Nicholas Palmquist, Preston Seitz, and Matt Zacher. This is going on tomorrow at 6 o'clock live from the council chambers. You can get kind of a preview of that tomorrow, as we will have our guests, our mayor candidates, on the air with us during Midday Magazine throughout the week this week. We have 10-minute, 15-minute interviews with each of them. We'll start this tomorrow with Tom Muse and Nicholas Palmquist and Midday Magazine. And then we'll wrap up on Thursday with Matt Zacher, and we're still hoping to hear from Preston about that and get Preston on with us.